Is the expression get woke, go broke right on target? We might be about to find out. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, hey, just infuriating, I guess, is the word. News item crossed my desk on Monday. The Target in downtown Minneapolis that got looted and then burned out during the partly violent riots last year. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. I mean the mostly peaceful protests last year, has been rebuilt from the ground up by Target Corporate, and Target Corporate being the woke, let the boys use the girls' room company that it is, has installed a mural on the outside of the reconstructed store that says, well, here, let's just put it up on the screen. We stand together, and three panels. And the second panel looks like it's straight out of Soviet propaganda. The third panel, the together panel, shows rioters, arms in the air, I can't breathe sign, and the building behind them, orange and in flames. Bill, the only thing I can compare this to, unless Target's just completely lost their mind, and that's certainly within the realm of possibility, the only thing I can compare this to is the Passover marking on your door in ancient Egypt to keep the evil spirits away. Is this going to do them any good?
Well, I don't know. As Scott pointed out on our backstage show, it worked pretty well for the Jews. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, that's exactly what it is. And I was trying to find a sort of an analogy of this, but again, in the backstage show, you absolutely nailed it. It is a totem. It's almost like a talisman, like a something to ward off evil. I saw this for the first time, and we talked about it at the time a year ago, when I went down the streets of Ventura Boulevard, not far from where I live, and all the stores have been boarded up because of the George Floyd riots. And virtually every single one of them had like I Heart BLM on it, you know, which is basically anointing the lintels with blood. Don't come and burn us. We're on your side. We're down with the movement. And the thing about the movement that that so many progressives just seem to miss is that it's not about... It doesn't matter. How many videos have we seen in the last year of progressives basically, you know, being owned by the mob who are just coming out of their house? No, you don't understand. I'm on your side. I'm in favor of burning things down. Why are you burning my stuff down? It doesn't work that way. You cannot appeal to the mob because the mob is not reasonable. I think on a larger point, Steve, this is a great example of what is pervading our entire culture with this whole woke phenomenon, and what it is basically is Stockholm syndrome. And for those of you unfamiliar with the term or maybe a little rusty on it, it comes from a study that was done on a situation in Stockholm, which was coincidental really when you think about it, because it was, you know, Stockholm syndrome happened in Stockholm. But basically what happened was there was a hostage situation, and over the course of several days, the hostages began to identify with the hostage takers. And the psychologists who studied this realized they weren't pretending to identify with their hostage takers. They were becoming more fanatical about whatever it was these particular terrorists wanted than the terrorists were. And the reason that this happens is because when you are threatened with that degree of danger, you know that if you can convince them that you're on your side, maybe they'll be less likely to kill you. And again, it's not an act. They fully identified with the people that had a knife to their throat. And that's a survival strategy. It's a survival tactic built into the human psychology. And this is what we're seeing now. We're seeing entire companies, cities, peoples, individuals, all of them saying, I don't want the woke mob to come after me. I don't want people throwing Molotov cocktails through my windows. I don't even want a Facebook post saying I'm a bad guy. So I'm going to be down with the movement, and I'm going to be, yes, absolutely. And this is just a sign of that. It's a sign of compliance with the people that have a gun to their head. And we will see. But to me, it is not only a sign of capitulation, Steve. It's how the system happens in the first place. By capitulating to this, you set an example. You create social proof for other people to capitulate to this. And then everybody's capitulating to this. And that's how these things grow from silliness into tragedies.
Yeah, it did start off kind of silly. I used to laugh at this stuff back in the 90s. I'm not laughing very much now. Scott, I didn't connect these dots until just now, but I saw a video last week. I think Daily Caller might have done this, or it might have been Post-Millennial or Campus Reform. I wish I could remember it, give them proper credit. But they interviewed people on the street. And the first group of people, one of the groups of people they talked to were white people in nice neighborhoods back east somewhere who were demonstrating their support for the mostly peaceful protesters. And then they talked to people of color in downtown areas that had actually been affected by the partly violent riots. And they were expressing how they were not in favor of this stuff because it was their own neighborhoods that were getting burned. It was their own stores being looted and all the rest. And it occurs to me, and you mentioned this in the backstage segment, that it was probably mostly minority employees at this Target who are out of work for weeks or months after the rebuilding. It's mostly minorities who shopped at this Target who couldn't go there anymore or anywhere else anymore because the whole block was shut down. When Target embraces this stuff, you know, it seems like they're embracing the cause. But really, Scott, aren't they playing to the affluent white people who approve of this stuff and aren't affected by it at all?
Yeah, that. And you're also creating a constant reminder of division and turmoil and fire and gunshots and death and putting that on the side of your happy, brightly colored red and white store. It just as a branding gesture, it doesn't make much sense. Now, if they had hired a mural artist, preferably somebody from the local community, to come in there and paint something where there were people of all races enjoying a picnic outdoors or a pickup basketball game among a mixed race group of people or a black police officer doing something to help a white citizen and vice versa, that kind of thing where they were actually saying, look, here's the community that we're becoming. It's not maybe the community that we've been, but this is the one that we should be. And I'll add to this, the people who were legitimately concerned about the state use of violence or power against the individual, or about selective policing in particular neighborhoods, about any kind of racial bias that might go into the system or any individuals themselves, those kind of people aren't the kind of people who smash windows and set things on fire. Those are people who want solutions. Those are people who want justice. The people who insinuate themselves as part of this group and said, yeah, we want freedom, we want justice, we want equality and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, we're just going to smash this window and take as much stuff as we can get out of Target right now. Those people are killing the movement for justice. They're the ones who are going to be responsible for taking something that could have been a positive force for good in these communities, because nobody doubts that there are problems in some of these inner cities across the country. They're destroying it. And I think what happened is they insinuate themselves into these justice groups and the people say, oh, yes, if you're not against us, you're with us and let's go along with it. No. Wait a minute. Wait, we're not throwing Molotov cocktails. And I've seen and I've heard testimony from people who've been at rallies like this. There are a lot of people who are really protesting for justice who are trying to stop these whack jobs and violent people and criminals from doing their thing. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense from Target's perspective. What do you want to have as your store? Hey, here's a memorial of us at our worst. Let's always see that. I mean, it's one thing to keep intact Auschwitz or Treblinka so that people can come and see and say never again. But on a Target store, why not set a vision for what the community could be and make it a better place? And like I said, or as you mentioned, the employees of that store want a better future. The people who shop in that store, probably majority minority people who shop in that store, they deserve a better future too. Let's come together and make one.
Can I
add something to that?
Please.
Because when I was listening to the murals that Scott was describing, I thought, yeah, that would be lovely. And then I realized the woke movement is here to destroy all of those things, Scott. That is what the evidence of the woke movement is. It's not about racial harmony. It's about racial division, and it's about continuing racial division. The more woke you are, the more you're in favor of all black, assemblies and no white dorms, all of this stuff. It's important to understand that the target, if you'll pardon the expression, of this woke movement is not racial harmony. The evidence is continuous that it's about racial division, and we should be making this point about as effectively as we possibly can.
Yeah, Bill, Ayn Rand's villain, the progressive villain in The Fountainhead, Ellsworth Tewey, said that whatever Roman it was, it said he wished that all of Rome had one neck so he could, control it. They left out the second part of the divide and conquer, and that's unite and rule. And we're on the divide and conquer stage here, and it's truly upsetting to watch. I had a thing I wanted to write about this on Monday, and instead I realized that George Orwell had already written the words I would have used way back in 1948 or 1949. It's the last paragraph of 1984, his famous novel. I'm going to read this for you. He wrote, "He gazed up at the enormous face. 40 years it had taken him to learn what kind of smile was hidden behind or beneath the dark mustache. Oh, cruel, needless misunderstanding. Oh, stubborn, self-willed exile from the loving breast. 2 gin-scented tears trickled down the sides of his nose. But it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother. But the difference between Winston Smith and Target is Winston Smith had to be tortured to the point of demanding they do it to Julia, the love of his life, before he found room in his heart to love Big Brother. Target, they just did it because they wanted to. And that's your right angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.